Evening, everybody. If you stayed with us thinking that you would get to hear Justin again at this time, our apologies to you. We had a good day today, and we thank all of you for your part in it. Thanks, Justin, for the thoughts presented this morning. I thought very, very pertinent to us and our congregational life. Pertinent to our area here. We have an opportunity and a need to be a warm heart to welcome people who need cared for and need to know that they are loved. I want to think with you for a few minutes about the ideal ministry of the church. If you would, have your Bible open to Matthew 4 at the end of that chapter, first part of chapter 5. As you know, we've been thinking in our time together today, at least in part, about ministry. Our ministry as a congregation of the people going forward, the ministry of Jesus, Justin helped us think about the ministry of His people in the world. All of us would want, if it could be this way, for our ministry as a congregation to be just the ideal. Of course, the world is not always ideal, and we are, after all, human beings, and we deal with people, so it's not always ideal, but we still long for that and aim for that kind of a benefit in terms of what we try to do together. But how would we know what the ideal would be? If it could be, how would we know it when we saw it? Would the ideal ministry of the church be to the poor or to the affluent or to those who are comfortably in between somewhere? Would it be to the young or to the seniors? Or to those who are in the middle raising their families? Where would you put the accent? And would it be apparent that it was the ideal ministry from the numbers of people gathered, or from the approval, or the enjoyment of the moment, or from some longer-term measurement than that? Well, here's an idea that I'd like to set before us in our thoughts just now. The ideal ministry of the church would be ministry by the kind of people the Lord blesses, and it would bless the kind of people He says are blessed, and it would bless them in the ways He says they're blessed. Now, maybe you can't repeat just what I said just then, but I hope you can follow at least the thought. The ideal ministry of the Lord's people would be ministry by the kind of people the Lord blesses, and it would bless the kind of people He says are blessed, and it would bless them in ways that He says they're to be blessed. So consider a very familiar passage in this light. Think of the Beatitudes taught by Jesus as a way for us to conceive of what we're thinking about here. In reading the Beatitudes, have you ever thought to stop and to consider their placement in the story or in Matthew's telling of the story of the ministry of Jesus? Do that with me for just a second. Notice in chapter 4 and verse 23, the beginning of this section, that the Beatitudes begin really with the crowds brought together by Jesus proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Chapter 4, verse 23, which Justin spoke to us about this morning. And then the Beatitudes proceed through a series of blessed are thee, or blessed are those who, statements, until they arrive at a blessed are you statement in chapter 5 and verses 11 and 12. So you follow the progression down to here. And then notice that the Beatitudes are immediately followed by the You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world sayings in chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14. So if you follow what I'm getting at, here is a passage which begins with the gospel of the kingdom and the crowds who hear it, moves along toward those who are blessed in that the kingdom is theirs, and then makes those people into the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I believe then that it is safe to say that the ideal ministry of the church involves at least the embodiment of the spirit of these Beatitudes and the expression of them in all kinds of faithful words and works by the people who are blessed this way. Now, let's think a little more closely about them in that light then for a few moments here. If we view it from this perspective, if we take this viewpoint, as you look through these statements made by Jesus or these proclamations of the Lord, you can see the church's ministry beginning to take shape through the series of Beatitudes he teaches. Especially if you remember, these Beatitudes are not eight different groups of people. They're the same group of people described in these different ways. So if you think of this as our ministry beginning to take shape, just think of them quickly with me. The poor in spirit. If the poor in spirit are engaged in ministering, then this is the people who are the humble people. They're never the I know more than you do people. They're not occupied with self. They're realizing their own standing as spiritual paupers who are dependent on the goodwill of someone else, namely the Lord. So it would start with not someone or a group of people who think they're better than others or no more than others, but poor in spirit. Then these are people who mourn. Meaning, as I understand it in the progression of thought, here are people who are grieved by our own weaknesses and failures, grieved by the sin in our lives and in the world, mourn the hurt and the heartbreak and the loss that sin brings into human experience. And these poor in spirit who mourn do not then begin to find fault with life and to grow bitter about life or to attack enemies or those who are around them in the world or to blame somebody. They are also the meek. This would be Matthew 5 in verse 5. In other words, the gentle. Those who are under control, those who are strong enough to be non-defensive about who they are and what their place in the scheme of things is. This is a rare and underappreciated part of this passage. And then these engaged in this type of ministry, these people hunger and thirst after righteousness. Meaning that there is a desire in their lives for what is right and a delight in what is right. There's a longing for right relationship between people and God and between people and people. There's no agenda but that. Think of it. No agenda besides righteousness. They're also merciful. Not those who engage in the pursuit of righteousness and then find themselves taking an attitude toward others which is unkind or harsh. That they're merciful means that they identify sympathetically with the human condition. They are compassionate and kind in attitude, in speech, and in behavior. Then our ministry involves being pure in heart, not merely meaning not thinking about things that are vulgar or dirty, but meaning sincere, without mixed or hidden motives, genuine, so that there is no manipulating of impression left depending on who happens to be the audience at the time, who happens to be watching at the time. Now, remember to put these in one after another connection in your mind. And then, this is ministry by peacemakers. Peacemakers whose presence in each other's lives and in the community tends toward a sense of wholeness and well-being. You know, there are people like that who, because they're present, you feel like things will be okay. Whose influence brings people together rather than polarizing them into cliques. And then this is ministry by those who are not seeking to be, but who would, if necessary, bear being persecuted for righteousness' sake. This is ministry by those in whose lives there is, if there is personal mistreatment, it's not because of intentional offense committed by them. It's because of loyalty to righteousness. And it means that there are convictions in their lives which are held even in the face of that kind of mistreatment, if it were to occur. Now, look at that list and think of it in terms of the church's ministry. We often think of ministry in terms of planning just the right strategy, just the right approach, just the right program, just the right tool. But watching Jesus would say to us, if those things are done out of some way of life besides this, it can't possibly be the ideal ministry of the church, and much less maybe even the ministry of the church. We sometimes also want to describe ministry in terms of categories: evangelism, edification, and benevolence. Even if every part of all of that were done with exactly appropriate intelligence and energy, but not from that life, it couldn't be the ideal ministry of the church. Think of that. You can also observe what the Lord says the effect of this ministry will be in the lives of these servants of His and in the lives of people who benefit from their ministry. I just mentioned this quickly for us. Think down through the list this way again. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That said first in verse 3 and last in verse 10 in the series of Beatitudes. Meaning that the kingdom of heaven is the main thing. People come under the rule of God and they have a future that's rooted in God's rule in their lives. That's the main thing, main benefit. They're comforted next. This is verse 4. People served in this way know that they're cared about. It means they'll be encouraged, they'll be strengthened, they'll know that everything is okay. That's the impact we want to have. They inherit the earth. They experience the best life has to offer, and they possess everything in it that really endures or really lasts. They receive mercy. That is, they benefit from the kindness and compassion of God in their humanness and from the mercy and graciousness of God's people through their presence in the world. They see God. That is, they learn what it is to be in His presence, to recognize His glory, to be at home with Him, and to be called the children of God, to be in His family, in other words, having a heart something like His is, and being engaged in activity like His, and being recognized as having the family likeness. To receive mercy, to see God, to be called God's children. And what I've done is simply to combine these statements and ask us to think about it. Now, put it up there in that way. Such persons as this, having this kind of impact, that would be the ideal ministry of the church, no matter who does it. That would be the ideal ministry of the church. Now, of course, engaging in such a ministry as a congregation or as a group requires not only that we be persons like this, but also that we pray and plan and prioritize, and then that we act in keeping with our purpose, and that we do that over a long period of time. And of course, we'll want the partnership in that project of people who have the training and the life experience and the particular skills that'll help us accomplish our agreed upon purpose. That should be what we think about in the process we're in. But there's something wrong, my brothers and sisters, if the whole process doesn't find us asking of ourselves, is this, these Beatitudes, who we who are serving are? It's a good time for us to do some evaluating in this way. Is this our heart, our spirit, our word, and our action? And is this, these blessings on this side, the effect we're having in the lives of people to whom we are ministering? Or is it something other than that? It'd be a good time for us to really evaluate before the Lord and in light of His kindness and grace. If the process that we are in now, and the process in which Justin has been a participant today, moves us more and more in this direction, it will have been good for us. Whether we end up with his partnership or someone else's, that's what we want to move toward. May that be so. I like sometimes to not sing a formal invitation song just because I want us to have a way of saying you can always approach us. Always the Lord's invitation is open. I want for us to be aware of that. And I like for us to do it different sometimes just so we can pray about what we've been doing today. And that's what I'd like to lead us in right now, if you'll bow with us. Our Father, we thank you for the heart of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gospel, which began with his taking the form of a servant and dwelling among us, giving himself up for us, being exalted to your right hand, and offering us his likeness, life in him. Thank you, Father, for the people that you have purchased to be your own through his blood. And thank you for the life in them that you've put there by his resurrection. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that people has to be involved in the same ministry our Lord began. And we do pray, Father, that you'll help us be the kind of people that he pronounced blessed. And you'll help us engage in such activity as would bring into the lives of ourselves and of other people the kind of blessings that he named as coming through him. We thank you for these dear people present, for the fellowship we have in Christ, for the occasion that we've enjoyed so much today. Bless their lives. Bless every home and family sitting here, represented here right now. Bless especially those with special problems through this week. And we pray that things may go well. And Father, thank you for the visit of Justin and Carrie and their family today. Thank you for the messages shared to the class and to us as a congregation. Please bless our eldership. We pray for the Crawfords and the challenges they have right now. We pray for your comfort to be with them. We pray for your comforting hand to be on our shepherds. Give them wisdom. We pray for all of us as a congregation that all things might be done in love and for the sake of the kingdom. Bless us this week, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for listening.